Hi, I'm Callie with the brand new Women's Collective show, Lady Radio. It's 6 p.m. at CITR. Just to tell you about a little bit about the collective, we're about centering women's voices and issues, fostering a community for women in radio, and undoing the disparity within the radio community. You just heard Again by Faith Healer, and we're going to introduce ourselves. Claire?
Hey. Tell
us about Faith Healer.
I'm Claire, and Faith Healer is the solo project of Jessica Jalbert, who's an artist out of Edmonton, which is my hometown, so I love listening to her. That song was off the album Cosmic Troubles, which just came out in March of this year, and I'm going to be a witch for Halloween.
Hey guys, my name is Maggie, and I stole my Halloween costume from a BuzzFeed listicle. I am going as an identity thief.
Hi, I'm Dora, and I do not have a Halloween costume. Thank you.
That's okay. Thank you for sharing, Dora.
You're welcome.
I'm Elizabeth. I am the coordinator of the Women's Collective, and for this Halloween, I am going as one half of a Ground Control and Major Tom duo. As Major Tom. Thank you.
Very original, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Alexandra.
I'm Alex, and I'm planning on possibly going as the Bride of Frankenstein for Halloween this year.
I'm Katie, and I don't have a Halloween costume either, but I do have a mask that is an owl mask. So that's going to be me, I guess.
Callie again. I'm going to be Dolly Parton, much to my father's delight, who is from the South. Okay.
Hey, I'm Jules. I might be Riff Raff. I might be Tank Girl. I'm usually Tank Girl. It's kind of my go-to. To introduce the next song that's going to be playing, we're going to be listening to Braid, Wind Is Coming by Tassie Amansi, which is a music project around centered around Toronto and Montreal, centered on twin sisters Romy and Sari Lightman. They are dreamy and beautiful and folksy and everything great. So
here we go. Tassie Amansi on CITR 101.9.
Talking as the world alone.
All right, guys. So once again, that was Tassiomancy. And now we're going to throw it over to Callie and Katie, who hit up the Vancouver Writers Fest this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. So this is Katie, and Callie and I went out to see the Women in Peril panel discussion at the Vancouver Writers Fest. It was pretty awesome.
Definitely.
Callie,
like definitely. It was a rock star moment.
Yeah, totally. Sure. Full disclosure, though, like, we did not actually read the books that the authors wrote. But, you know, we are here to comment on, you know, the panel. So I think it's fair.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for the library.
Yeah.
to get
Come
back.
On. We're students. It's cool. So, yeah.
Yeah. So initial impressions, Roxanne is like a force.
Yeah.
Should we say who was in the panel?
Yeah. So... Paula Hawkins, who wrote The Girl on the Train, Susan Philpott, whose first thriller, Blown Red, she was on the panel, Roxane Gay, who wrote An Untamed State, and Elizabeth...
Bad Feminist as well.
And Bad Feminist, yeah. And Elizabeth DeMariaffi, who is another Canadian author who wrote The Devil You Know.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's about women... basically in compromising situations and how they, like, fiction generally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Roxane Gay was definitely, like, I'm a total fangirl, but she was, like...
Most people were.
Yeah,
people
totally.
Were, like, anytime she said a quote or anything, it was immediately, like, Twittered, and people were, like, rolling off on the floor and
oh,
dying.
For sure.
I felt bad for the other panelists because, like, no one, they'd be like, okay, next.
Yeah, she was definitely, she's a huge presence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's pretty awesome. Yeah, definitely. Well, one thing we talked about was, that came up a lot, was women's likability.
Right. Good topic.
Yeah. And how, like, Roxane Gay actually had a brilliant quote on this that, like, she, what did she say? What was the context of this quote? It was like talking about, I guess, like dealing with gender and race issues in publishing and how she said, like, I'm not here to make you like me. You know, mm-hmm. Like she has friends, she said, and it was a really like.
I think her quote was, I'm not here to make men happy. I think that was her. That might be the misandry topic, but yeah. I think that was. That's general aura.
That was the general,
her.
Like,
yeah.
Her whole thing. It was all, like, clumped into one.
Right. It's just what needs to be said. Or for her, she's, her sort of mantra is, like, this is what I need to say. I don't really care who is not okay with it because this, like, is important and needs to be said. And if it's uncomfortable, that's probably important to pay attention to, why that is uncomfortable. And, like, yeah.
Yeah. Did you get the, like, impression from the other panelists that, like, they were worried about their likability?
Yes, but she has so much style. It's hard to almost match that or even follow that. I feel like I would never want to talk after her because she's,
right.
I don't know. She's definitely really confident and knows what she's saying, which, you know, anybody can be confident as well. But
yeah, for sure.
I think it's hard.
Yeah.
Because she's also like the most well-known on the panel. So I'm sure maybe that was a part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. In terms of likability, though. We were discussing this earlier and we're thinking about, I was listening to this podcast of a female actress and she was saying that she's tried to get these certain parts in the works for women and directors will dismiss it by being like, well, that's not a likable character.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what does that do to women's conception of themselves and like social conception of women in general? I feel like women aren't being explored in a nuanced way and that sort of causes people to sort of see women as flat characters in their lives. What do you think?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we were trying to think of like roles like of women that were like where they are actually just like unlikable characters.
Right.
And, like just even just like mean women who are just like doing their thing and yeah, it was pretty hard. Like,
I was thinking of the mom from Girls, how she's pretty thoroughly unlikable.
Yeah. But yeah, generally like lacking nuance for sure.
Yeah. Or if there is an unlikable character, it's set into this sort of good and evil dichotomy which it, like the nemesis, and I don't really know if that's totally helpful,
like
either
Ursula the Sea Witch.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, she's pure evil, gosh darn it. And
poor,
like,
unfortunate souls.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure that's really lending to the complexity either.
No, totally.
So
I mean, equally as unnuanced.
Right.
Yeah. Although okay. She is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. And another thing, like another big thing that came up on the panel was like basically like women and their like tightly correlated relationship to fear, and just how like fear is so present in women's lives, and I feel like that's really discussed. Like, it's a huge part of the discourse, like around women, and like women's fear is always like closely, like
right.
closely follows any discussion,
and that could be maybe translated into neurosis and other forms of fear over time, kind of thing. I know that Roxane Gay, one of her quotes was that she says it's healthy to feel some fear. But it's unfortunate that women have to feel an inordinate amount of fear in terms of, like, I think what we're speaking of is mostly, like, physical safety, but I'm sure this can apply to other.
Yeah.
Because it came from one of the novelist's books is about one of the serial killers.
It was written about, like, it's a female reporter who was, like, investigating this murder in, like, the Paul Bernardo era in Ontario. And, yeah, it was just, like, pretty much all about fear. And, yeah, there's a lot of, like, heaviness.
Yeah, it was a heavy discussion, but, you know, it ended on a pretty good note. We'll get there soon enough. But
sure. Yeah, and I did think it was interesting during that whole discussion. Like, Roxane I noted that she was the only woman who, on the panel, who didn't actually discuss women and, the vulnerability of
right.
women, right? And I thought that was another thing that made her stand out. Like, it wasn't, like...
Maybe a victimization of women. It was more of a...
Yeah, like, that didn't seem to define what her, like, book was. Or no, maybe not her book. But that doesn't define her persona, for sure.
And that makes sense, actually, for her book character as well. Because her book character is kidnapped. And from the excerpt she read us from her book, it seemed like this woman did not care about, you know... who these people were. She was pretty much like, you know, going out fighting. I don't know the end of the book. I think she gets away, but I don't know. It sounds like she basically portrays her as like a very strong female character, and it's not really implied that she's in a vulnerable position, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other
big topic.
The other big thing that Roxane chatted about was, and I think this is what you were alluding to earlier with the, like, she wasn't worried about man feelings, is what she said, writing her book. And the, who was it that led the panel? Anyway, she brought up the pinned tweet that Roxane Gay is a prolific tweeter.
Yeah.
And she has this pinned tweet that says, calling me a misandrist, like, it's a bad thing. And that kind of led to a discussion about, like, you know...
Sort of what is the place of misandry in these writers' lives, or is it there, or what? How do they feel about it as a concept, kind of thing? Roxane Gay was like pretty for it, and she would sort of joke about not being it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think she has like a lot of empathy for humankind, and I think that's where she like ended her opinion on it, but. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they seem to veer very quickly away from misandry, if I can remember correctly.
Right. Well, I think as a concept, it definitely like weakens the feminist movement, in my opinion. And I don't feel like there's a huge place for it. And so, I don't know.
Right on. I guess, like, another big topic
was what the panelists thought about trigger warnings and trigger warnings for books. And Roxane Gay basically said she didn't want trigger warnings for books because she didn't want there to be certain topics that are unbroachable or that there should be corrals around literature. And she basically, she said, discomfort is useful and it's important. So we talked about this for a while because it's very interesting to think about what's the use of trigger warnings, and is it serving its cause, or is it where does it have its place, and is it working?
Yeah, like, understandably, all these books bring up some, like, really, potentially triggering things. And I think they were pretty much in consensus about, whether or not they wanted trigger warnings on their books, which was, like, a big nay. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of, like, what Roxane Gay said about, like, just straight up, I don't believe in trigger warnings. And I guess I'm inclined to personally agree with that, and that, like, you know, we shouldn't protect ourselves from, like, reality,
right?
And that, like, they're like what she was saying, that they were like not having trigger warnings, and like that discomfort is about, like, hope and, like, forwarding action, I think is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know, I thought that was really,
yeah, and sort of something you were talking about earlier is that healing is an active process, and obviously I think trigger warnings totally could be useful in terms of, okay, I don't want to disturb this healing process. My only issue is that I don't know if there's, like, a static or a vacuum to enter to inhabit after your trauma that can be non-triggering. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, I obviously wouldn't want to trigger someone. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm kind of caught, because I, like, obviously I don't want someone to be totally distraught after, you know, a certain stimulus. Like, that's not, I wouldn't want that to happen. I guess I'm just
human.
Yeah, right. Well, no, that no one would want to do that. I guess just trying to figure out what the right way to do that is, or what the, like, is going to be best for each individual's healing process is, I'm like, I just don't know. And
yeah. Big question mark.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll end this talk about just commenting on the resilience of women and how that's the sort of binding factor with all of these fictional and non-fictional people and women that I know and you know, and it's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. Thank you, Kelly and Katie. That was wonderful. So just to finish off today, this is just a little taste of what the Women's Collective has to offer. If you are interested in being involved with the Women's Collective or Lady Radio, send an email to womenscollective@citr.ca, and I can give you all the information about that. Now to finish off, I think we have one more song coming your way. Katie, can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, on our next show, I'm going to be interviewing Sarah Jickling. About all the rad stuff she's got going on. So just to give a little info on that, she's going to be at the Media Club on November 5th with Youngblood and The Response and her band Sarah Jickling and her Good Bad Luck. And on November 6th, she's going to be speaking at Interesting Vancouver, an annual gathering of the unique and interesting at SFU Woodward. So we're going to be playing her new single, Cry Baby, and look for that interview next week.
Thank you, and stay tuned for live performance in studio from Reef Shark, following up Lady Radio on CITR 101.9. And this is Sarah Jickling. Thank you.
Unkind lately, so I'm gonna cry. The truth is I'm made of peaches skin. I'm more than sensitive. I'm out of my mind, and they see it gonna change, cause I'm just too soft. Wear my heart up on my sleeve, and it's hard to watch. And they see it gonna change, get it tough enough. It's a razor blade world, everybody gets cut. I will cry my eyes.
here come the waterworks, but I would rather feel hurt than not.